Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
We usually don't eat in the studio, but Anthony, I guess I should say I'm a Magna Chocolate Brownie. And Anthony, what are you eating?
So these are chips. Actually, they're called chirps, and they're made from cricket flour.
Cricket, as in pulverized?
As in pulverized. You should try one. In pulverized crickets.
All right, so I got a bag.
Among other ingredients.
Okay.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, actually, I don't know what crickets would taste like, but these just taste like regular chips.
Right.
But it turns out that crickets are actually an excellent source of protein.
Exactly right. If you read the label, in fact, it compares crickets to beef. It says dried beef is up to 50% protein, dried crickets 70% protein. So I'm going to have another one.
We've got three bags of them here, so there's plenty. But, I mean, I guess the long and the short of it is that many people are starting to say that eat insects and save the world because of sustainability issues. So we're going to talk more about this now. And to whet our appetite, we sent our producer, Jamie Bologna, out yesterday to Faneuil Hall to a Pestaurant charity event. I love puns. This was a perfect one. I didn't even make it up. But this charity event was serving up thousands of insects to lunchtime crowds, and intrepid Jamie sampled some of the bugs, talked to the cooks, and those brave enough to take a bite.
So this is actually our mealworm station. So we have a New England clorm chowder, clorm being a combination of clam and worm.
So it has your regular Boston clam chowder, but with mealworms added to it as well. So
it has clam and mealworms.
Clam and mealworms, clorm.
And there's a mealworm just sticking out of it.
Yes.
It's just like clam chowder.
Yeah, but also a little extra ingredient in your clam chowder.
And on this end of the table, we have chocolate chirp cookies. We're chocolate chip cookies with crickets in them.
I only had the chocolate chip cookie. And I think it's better than normal chocolate chip cookies. It's kind of crazy. But, you know, it's a chocolate chip cookie. You know, how bad could it be? I'm going for the burger next. You know, burgers and cookies are my kryptonite, so I'm going in.
What do you got here?
I'm grilling turkey burgers with grasshoppers, and also onions, carrots, and celery, seasoned up with salt and pepper and olive oil.
And it's served on a bun with our own coleslaw. So you have the bun, the coleslaw, the turkey grasshopper burger, very high in protein, low in fat, high in vitamins. So it is a very healthy burger.
You will taste some of the grasshopper. I'm going to warn you about that. So we deliberately broke them up into large chunks rather than grinding them. So we wanted everyone to experience it. Here they come straight off the grill for you. And okay, let me know your thoughts.
So it's like a little slider. It tastes like a turkey burger.
Yes.
But then there's that extra exoskeleton crunch.
Exactly.
Oh, I see a grasshopper.
You see it?
Head just sticking out at me.
Yeah, it's peeking out
at you. As I'm halfway through this burger.
Yeah,
all right,
they're
I guess
cheeky.
I'm going to go for the head.
Go.
It tastes just like a turkey burger, but crunchier.
But way higher in protein than it would be ordinarily.
Over here we did a fried rice.
We also got some mealworms poking out of it. Tastes like just like pork fried rice with some worm.
I had some worms and crickets. And I also had a lollipop, but the worms were my favorite.
Salt and vinegar crickets.
All right, this is a salt and vinegar cricket. No, I guess I can grab one here.
There you go.
Just pop it in?
Pop it in, okay. Punch away. Not too bad, huh?
It's very salty and crunchy.
And
it's almost like a potato chip.
Exactly right.
And how about a mealworm?
Buffalo mealworm.
Yeah, it's buffalo
So this
style.
Just looks, this almost looks like a noodle.
If you think so, if that helps you.
Yeah.
So now that you've had both, you like the crickets or you like the mealworm?
You know, I actually like the mealworm better.
Well, it doesn't have the crickets. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, well, it doesn't have sort of buggy legs.
Okay. The brave Jamie Bologna, one of our intrepid producers here at Radio Boston, bravely enjoying a buffalo-flavored mealworm, among other insects, being served up yesterday at Faneuil Hall as part of a charity event.
And joining us now to talk more about the world of eating insects is Rose Wang. She's co-founder of the Cambridge-based Six Foods, a startup that produces cricket chips. She's joining us from New York today. Rose, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And your chips were delicious, I have to say. Also with us in the studio is Catherine Spilios. She's an entomologist and director of instructional labs in biology at Boston University. Professor Spilios, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we want you to join in this conversation. Have you eaten insects? If so, how do you prepare them? If not, would you consider adding protein-rich environmentally happy bugs to your diet. Do you know about the benefits of eating bugs, or do you find the whole idea a little too creepy and gross? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. If you've got questions, that's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston.
And by the way, I'm also, since we're going to have some of this insect food, not food for insects, but the food based on insects, I'm going to be tweeting us eating them during the show. So if you want pictures of what it looks like, you can follow Radio Boston or follow me. It's MEGHNAWBUR. That's Meghna WBUR. So Professor Spelius, let me first just start with you. Can you just tell us briefly, I mean, a lot of people might first feel the ick factor, but what are the benefits of insects as a food source for us?
Absolutely. Well, I think the first and foremost thing is that they are delicious, right? I think you've both experienced that so far. Mm-hmm. But aside from the deliciousness, is they are a rich source of protein. They are composed of very healthy fats. They're high in unsaturated fats. They have all of the nutrients that you are looking for. So they really are a complete food source. So as far as the nutritional aspect goes, they have it all. As far as the ecological aspect goes of consuming insects as a food, they are relatively easy to manage, mm-hmm. and easy to grow, and they do not impose such a large impact on the environment as other agricultural processes do.
Right. Well, I've read that, I don't know if this is crickets in particular, but for some insects, because of they're cold-blooded, that they're, what, four times as efficient at converting food sources to meat as our cattle?
Exactly.
Because the cattle need a lot of energy to keep them warm, essentially.
Right. So it's a concept called ecological efficiency, and it's just a measure of how good an organism is at converting the food and energy that they take in to their biomass, and that biomass is what we can then eat. So in terms of that efficiency, insects know what they're doing.
Okay.
All right, Meghna, we've got a bunch of food here. In fact, Jamie, the intrepid Jamie Bologna, brought this back from Faneuil Hall. In front of us, we've got mealworm fried rice. And this looks like, you know, a pretty typical dish of fried rice. I can see some peas, some rice, and then in front of me, there's a very prominent mealworm kind of draped across part of the fried rice. We've got some clam chowder. That's mealworm and clam chowder that I think you heard Jamie talking about.
This has to be my favorite dish on the plate.
Yeah,
I just
want to
say the word clam over and over and again.
Right. And then turkey burger with grasshopper sliders. So while we try this, let's bring Rose Wang into the conversation. Rose Wang, tell us about six foods and those chips or those chirps that we were crunching on earlier. Why create chips out of crickets? Tell us how this all began.
So Six Foods started when my co-founder and I, we were actually college roommates at Harvard, we both had insects abroad. So she had a fried caterpillar in Tanzania, and I had a fried scorpion in China. And we had the same reaction that a lot of people tend to relate different foods that's different to something familiar. And we thought, wow, this tastes like seafood. And so when we started discovering how delicious insects were, our goal was then to experiment more with them. And as we did, we also learned that insects are one of the most sustainable protein sources out there.
Rose, actually, if I could just jump in here for a moment. You mentioned that your first experience was abroad. And I mean, what? I've been reading that around 80% of the world's population, or at least a vast percentage, eats insects and with pleasure and has for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. 2.5 billion people regularly eat insects, and it's about a population within 80% of countries all over the world.
Right. Okay. And so you took that inspiration and came back and said what? I'm going to try and get my fellow students to eat crickets? Or?
Exactly. That was our first experiment. We ordered live crickets and waxworms and mealworms and fried them up in a house at Harvard. There might be some remnants still there. And we tried to feed them to our friends. And we got the exact response we expected, which is people freaking out. So that was pretty clear that was not the way for us to go. It was a novelty play. It was fun. It scared people. But if we really wanted to make an impact, we had to get as many people eating it and for them to come back after their first experience.
Mm. And so what was the trick? Because there's certainly an ick factor that people have to get over, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And that's something that we experimented with, which is the form factor. So our first experiment actually was turning the insects into a ground meat. And one of my favorite stories is that we had mealworms, and then we turned them into like a ground mealworm, and it looked like beef, and we put it into tacos. And we brought it to the Harvard Innovation Lab for a pitch competition. And we were the last to go, so we put it in the fridge, and we came back about 2 hours later, and we opened the fridge and realized that we forgot to label the tacos, so people thought they were beef tacos. And so over half of them had been eaten, and people really liked them, not knowing they were eating mealworms. But then when we brought it to the judges, we're like, oh my God, look what happened. Everyone loves insects. They're like, no, 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 we're not going to eat this. It's still gross. It looks like the insect. I'm not going to eat mealworms. So that was a really good learning for us, which is it was still too much of a wet ingredient. And so that's how then we pivoted to cricket flour, which is crickets dried and milled into a powder. So it just looks like brown sugar. Like, you can't really tell the difference.
Yeah. Well, Catherine Spilios, let me bring you back in here because I mean, we can, in the plate in front of us with the mealworm fried rice and the clorm chowder and the grasshopper turkey burger, you can see the insects, and it doesn't really challenge me very much, but I can understand that people have the ick factor. But what's interesting is insects are very closely related to things that we consider are delicacies. I mean, lobster, right?
Without a doubt. And when you look at the biological role that lobsters play, the ick factor should be there as well, but of course we don't see lobsters that way. I think possibly for the insects on our plate, it is the form factor. It is seeing that insect as a whole, seeing the head poking out or the legs, the numerous legs at that.
Yeah. Well,
but
I mean,
also there's an association, isn't there? With, I mean, if you see a worm, which this looks like in this rice, in your food, for a long time we've been taught to think that's a sign that the food has gone bad. Mm-hmm. So we sort of have to get over that, right?
Mm-hmm. I was looking at an 1885 manifesto by a man named Vincent Holt. It's called "Why Not Eat Insects," and he wrote about the habits of lobsters. And if we're going to be grossed out, we should be grossed out by lobsters, because he wrote, "The lobster, a creature consumed in incredible quantities at all the highest tables in the land, is such a foul feeder for its sure capture. The experienced fisherman will bait his lobster pot with putrid flesh or fish, which is too far gone even to attract a crab." So, I mean, so if we're going to eat lobsters, why not eat insects? But do you see them? This is a serious matter, because as the population of the world continues to grow, we're on pace to be at what, 9 billion by 2050, if not earlier than that. Demands for protein are going to grow. Are insects a viable source for that gigantic volume of protein that we need today and we'll need even more in the future?
It certainly is scalable. And as Rose pointed out, the sustainability of the production of this protein is absolutely there. And if you just think about the overall footprint that it would take agriculturally to rear the volume of insects for a matching kilogram, say, of beef, you are talking about just a much smaller area of land. So even that side of it is sustainable. And then there was some research published very recently looking at the production of greenhouse gases associated with rearing of insects. And so agricultural production is one of the leading emitters of greenhouse gases. And so far, the research is looking like the production of or utilizing insects as an agricultural process does not lead to the same volume of greenhouse gas production. So it certainly does seem much more sustainable.
Yeah, and Rose Wang, I'm looking at the label of your chirps. I have a bag of cheddar chirps, but on the back you've got a really interesting fact here. You say, under the heading of sustainable, gallons of water to make 1 pound of meat.
Yes.
2,000 gallons of water to make 1 pound of cricket flour. 1 gallon. So talking about being environmentally sustainable. That's quite a fact.
Yeah. So that's what's so compelling about insects is that it's orders of magnitude less resource intensive to produce the same amount of meat. And so when we're talking about scale, the life cycle for insects, for crickets especially, is 6 weeks. So if we really needed to feed the world, we could scale up very quickly. And what's so great about insects is you can't raise cows or pigs in cities. But if you have a warehouse in a city, you could raise the crickets in the warehouse, in the cities, really reducing the distance from farm to table.
You know, Rose, you said that, I mean, you wanted to change the form factor to make it less icky. I think I just ate the head of the grasshopper in my turkey grasshopper slider.
By the way, Megna, we haven't talked about this, but these turkey grasshopper sliders are pretty good.
They're really delicious.
I'm having a harder time with a fried rice with a mealworm. I'm going to be perfectly honest. I haven't quite got past that mealworm and the fried rice.
Where do you get your grasshoppers from, Rose?
So we use crickets.
Oh, I'm sorry, your crickets, yeah. I mean, you don't just go down to, like, the local pet store, right?
Well, contrary to popular belief, we don't catch them. We work with cricket farms, and so there are cricket farms all over North America, really all over the world, but we use ones here in America and Canada, and they've been here for decades. They used to provide their crickets for reptile feed or fish bait, and now they're sectioning off parts of their farm for human-grade crickets. And so that's an industry that's already built up, and so we don't really have to start from scratch.
1-800-423-8255, that's the number to call to join this conversation about eating insects. If you want to tell your story about eating insects or have questions for our guests, give us a call. Let's go to Fran, who's calling from Acton. Hi, Fran, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to tell you our story. My son, who is now 25 years old, when he was in second grade, he had seen a show on Channel 2 on PBS about how bugs were a source of protein all over the world. So one day on the playground, again, he was in second grade, he started eating bugs. And we told him that was not a good idea. And we were very much into themed birthday parties. So when it came to his birthday, we had a bug party. And I decided to make chocolate chirpy cookies. And I found a recipe online. I went to the local pet shop. And I was standing in line to buy crickets. And there was a woman ahead of me. And she was buying crickets. So I said, "What are you buying crickets for?" And she said, "For my pet frog." And she said, "And what are you buying crickets for?" And I said, "Well, for my son's cookies." And she thought I was a little strange. but I got a bag of crickets. I brought them home. I put them in the fridge to slow down their metabolism. And then I put them in a covered casserole, put them in the oven at 350 for a few minutes. They got nice and crispy. And then I mixed up some cookie batter with the chocolate chips and very carefully folded them in and put the cookie dough on the cookie sheet so that there was a little head sticking out of each cookie.
And how'd they turn out, Fran?
Well, from what I hear, they turned out great.
Them?
Well, I have to say, I did not try one. my husband and my son did, and not all the kids at the party would give them a go, but they were quite a sensation, I have to say. So that was the chocolate chirpy cookie experience.
Fran, thanks so much for calling, and thanks for relating that story. Let's go to Samuel, who's calling from Shirley. Samuel, you're on the air.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. When I think about eating insects, I normally see them in the excrement of other creatures, which is a big turnoff, not knowing what diseases are there. And also, they crawl all over me, and a cow can't quite crawl all over me. So that's part of my ick factor.
But Sam, what about grasshoppers that just eat leaves? They're not crawling all over excrement. I mean, I know we think of the ones that are all in disgusting things, but most insects eat completely natural foods out there. They're not all dung beetles.
True. But what gets me is that the environment that they are in, and they associate with other bugs as well. they mix together. So my question is, how is the what's the quality control for diseases for these? And you also mentioned that some of that they are some of the most efficient protein sources, sustainable. But are there others that are even more, such as the ones that come directly from plants?
Mm, Samuel, great question. Catherine Spilios, do you have an answer on the quality control question?
Sure. So if this were to be scaled up on any large scale, there would, of course, be quality control issues built in, and there would be safety measures at every single step of the rearing process. But one thing that I do want to point out is that insects are so distantly related to humans that the probability of any pathogen within an insect actually jumping over and becoming pathogenic for humans is very, very rare, as opposed to, say, some pathogen or disease within pigs or cows. There actually is the probability, and there is precedent, of those diseases jumping over to humans. So as far as that concern, you know, I think we are relatively safe.
Well, and I imagine once we get to the, sorry, Rose, but once we get to that scale, I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, mushroom production now, right? Like they're grown in clean media, but they're fungi, right? So we can do it for this kind of production. And Rose, but the scale has to be there and the demand has to be there. So Rose, go ahead.
It's already happening. So for us, we had to get approval through every single state health department. So there's already regulation around eating insects. It's, in fact, I think because there's so many eyes on what we're doing, we're probably doing more tests than most foods out there. And so we know down to each ingredient that is fed to the insect. So they are non-GMO, fed on a gluten-free diet, and they're kept in these biocontainment units so that it's really hard for toxins to get in. So it's actually probably one of the cleanest environments that food is grown in right now.
So, Rose, if folks who are listening want to explore cooking with insects, give us a sort of primer on where to start. Where do they even get them, for example?
That's the part where it's a little hard. So nobody is really selling cricket flour on a commercial level. Mm. And that's mainly just because the cricket flour is coming from these farms directly. And so they're very much a business-to-business model. In the future, there's possibility that cricket flour will be on the market. But the best way to do it right now is actually just seeing what you can try at a local restaurant, talking to chefs, and then there's not just us with Chirps on the market, but there's also a couple other insect products that you could try.
Rose, can I ask you what kind of you're in New York right now trying to get more retailers, I guess, to carry the Chirps. What kind of do you meet with resistance, and what kind of resistance is it, and what do you say in return to them?
There's always resistance, but it's a lot less than people expect. So Time magazine named insects one of the top six food trends of this year. So it's very much up and coming, and I think a lot of people, especially in the food space, who have their eye on trends and on the market, know that this is up and coming. And so, in fact, we get a lot more excitement about it. But when we do get resistance, I think one thing to acknowledge is that this is not a product for everyone. We realize that, which is why it's exciting, right? It's controversial. And so we really like to respect people's views. If they are disgusted by it, this is something that will take time to get over. But we've done studies that show that there's about the 50% of the American population that is very willing to eat insects already. And so let's start with them first, and then they can help influence their friends, right? It's much easier when it's coming from your wife or your dad versus coming from a company that you've never heard of.
I wonder what if we just change the name of what we call it? Because I'm thinking, you know, there have been foods in the past like Patagonian toothfish. They called it Chilean sea bass, and suddenly everybody wanted to eat it.
I mean, so we could call it Bugs Meunier.
Yeah, or is there maybe like an elegant Spanish word for it? I mean, Catherine Spilios, like getting people's attitudes to change, maybe just a rebranding exercise about insects?
Perhaps rebranding could work. I agree with Rose, though. I think it does have to start small and get bigger from there.
Well, let's hear from some more callers. Brenda is calling from Bolton about eating insects. Brenda, you're on the air.
Hi. prejudiced against eating any species. What I am prejudiced about is I want to eat muscle and not viscera, not eyeballs, not livers, you know. And calling it something different doesn't matter. If it's, you call it calamari, it's still a squid.
Okay, Brenda. Rose, what do you say to Brenda there? I mean, that's she's part of the population that I guess you have to make a pretty strong pitch to.
Yes, absolutely. And for us, it's, if this is how Linda feels, then we very much respect her view, and maybe she's not going to be eating insects, you know, now or maybe ever. But we do like to focus still on the sustainability aspect of insects. You know, if you want to change climate control or climate change, you really have to start with food preferences, because right now they're not aligned, and that's, you know, our food preferences are leading to ecological factors that are changing and getting worse. And so it's really important for us to talk about that fact. But also, if it's turned into a powder form, is it really that scary? Like, do you really know what's in your hot dog or in your chicken nugget? Like, you know, this is pretty similar in the sense that it's a form that is so familiar to you. It's a chip. It's crunchy. It's not, like, slimy. Mm. You know, is it really that gross if you're getting a ton of protein and really good, complete protein from it?
No, is the answer, right? Well, that's my answer, at least. It's not that gross at all. But Catherine Spilios, last question to you. You teach a class where you have students, you know, cook insects at the end of it, right? Do you find most of them, once they do it themselves, do they become converts? Because I'm just wondering, like, you know, as Rose was saying, maybe it's just sort of a one person at a time kind of campaign.
Absolutely. They love going through the exercise of even just exploring the cultural aspect of it. And then we get together and brainstorm some recipes and have a big insect buffet where they cook everything. And they really get into it. Past that class, I honestly don't know if how much they're carrying their entomophagy with them. But they certainly do, I think, gain a new appreciation for it.
Well, that's Professor Catherine Spilios. She's an entomologist and director of instructional labs in biology at Boston University. Catherine, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having
really
me.
Really appreciate it. And Rose Wang, co-founder of the Cambridge-based cricket chip maker Six Foods. Rose Wang, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about Google Photos. It may be the best new photo organization software out there, but of course, there's a catch. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.